Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Ed Staple. I'm a dentist practicing here in San Antonio. You're listening to the Dr. Staple program, and your smile matters. And today, I have my wonderful friend and my guest is Dr. Nathan Bryant. Dr. Bryant, are you there?
Dr. Staple, I am.
Now, Dr. Bryant is, I'll let him tell you a little bit about his career. It's quite amazing what he's done in the length of time and how he was associated with creating a very powerful product that we've talked about before. And I think that you're going to bring us a lot of new information and bring us up to date on what's going on. So you can capture this program, recapture it on the podcast. Well, my podcast address is staffeldds.podomatic.com. My website is sanantoniodentist.net. And my guest today is Dr. Nathan Bryant. He was a lead orthomolecular biologist, a doctor that developed with the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston some amazing products. So give us a little bit about your background with the medical school in Houston and what you're doing now, and then we'll get into the product.
Sure. Well, thanks, Dr. Staffel, for having me on today. Yeah, I've been in academic medicine for almost 20 years. Got a degree from University of Texas at Austin in biochemistry, then went on to LSU School of Medicine in Shreveport, and did some additional training up in Boston at Boston University Medical Center. And throughout all those years, I really got involved in nitric oxide research back in, I guess, the early 2000s, a couple of years after the Nobel Prize was awarded for the discovery. And so my time in LSU and then Boston, and then I was later recruited to join faculty at UT Medical School in Houston by Dr. Farid Murat. He was one of the gentlemen who shared in the Nobel Prize for the discovery of nitric oxide. So there was a lot of excitement back in the early 2000s, and we'd developed some methods and some techniques where we could actually measure this really fleeting gas in biological systems. So then we had tools to really begin to understand what goes wrong in certain diseases or processes that involve nitric oxide. How do we begin to provide a fingerprint of enobiology? And then two, those tools allowed us to begin to develop really some innovative technologies. And that was the basis for a lot of the discoveries and since the commercialization of some of these technologies. That's really kind of the background. I'm currently an adjunct professor at Baylor College of Medicine, right across the street from UT Medical School in Houston. And so I continue to try to move the field forward in terms of understanding more about nitric oxide biology and many different disease processes. And over these past 10 years, we've really learned a lot that, you know, nitric oxide, the oral hygiene in dental medicine has an awful lot to do with cardiovascular health, and we're finding that mechanistically this may be to the dysregulation of nitric oxide production.
All right, well, let's start.
A lot of time that if you have a chronic illness that normal physicians haven't been able to get a handle on, go see a good dentist.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Now then, let's start by explaining what nitric oxide is, why it's so important, and what it does.
Yeah, so it's a molecule that's produced by the lining of the blood vessels, and basically it's a cell signaling molecule. It's how cells in our body communicate. So when it's produced by the lining of the blood vessels, it tells the underlying smooth muscle to relax or dilate. So that allows for blood vessel relaxation and dilation, causes an increase in blood flow and oxygen and nutrient delivery to downstream tissue. It's produced by the neurons in our brain. It's how our brain communicates. But it's also how our immune system kills off invading pathogens.
Now, wait a minute. Let's go back. You said, what does the communication in our brains, what is that with? The nitric oxide?
It is. So there's an enzyme that generates nitric oxide in individual neurons.
Okay. Oh.
Part of this synaptic transmission of how neurons communicate and signal throughout the central nervous system.
And the nitric oxide is important in the brain.
Absolutely. It's what we call a ubiquitous molecule, meaning that it's present in almost every cell system and organ system in the human body. So you can begin to appreciate that once you lose the ability to make nitric oxide, there's a lot of things that go wrong. There's a breakdown of communication between different organ systems and throughout the body. So people begin to get sick, and then really people cannot get well until you fix their nitric oxide producing systems.
Now, that's a pretty strong statement. So how do you, what is the research shown with that? That you cannot get well unless you fix the nitric oxide system in your brain, body, or what, or both?
Well, both, throughout the entire organ system. So there's not a single human disease that's not characterized by reduced blood flow or hypoxia or reduced oxygen.
Yeah.
And so that's controlled by nitric oxide, not just blood vessel relaxation and increase in perfusion to tissue, but it's actually how hemoglobin in our blood actually offloads oxygen and delivers oxygen. So without nitric oxide, you can't get blood, get oxygen where it needs to go, and you can't deliver it into the periphery. So those are, again, if you don't fix the nitric oxide system, you can do everything else, and you can have some success, but you're really not going to have complete therapeutic success until you fix the nitric oxide system.
So what you're saying there is that it's terribly important to take this all the time.
Well, here's what I tell people, that if people eat whole foods that are replete in nutrients and vitamins and everything we need, and you get enough moderate physical exercise, then really your body will have everything it needs to heal and to regenerate. The problem is no one does this.
Yeah.
Because of our busy lifestyle, and two, the foods we eat a lot of times aren't, they're depleted in certain nutrients and minerals and things that we need. So sometimes we have to supplement our body with what it needs in order to perform optimally. And so that's what we focused on for the past really 20 years is, what does the body need to make nitric oxide? How do we fix these broken systems? And that's what we've been able to accomplish through the technology we've developed at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston.
Now, you mentioned that there's a signaling that goes on to the muscles and the vessels, and I understand that the vessels are going to relax anywhere from, or increase their blood flow volume anywhere from 30% to 60%? Is that, am I understanding that right?
Well, that's possible. It really depends on what type of artery or vessel we're looking at, you know, and depending upon if it's been chronically constricted or if there's plaque buildup, including the lumen of the blood vessel. So there's lots of factors in there, but, you know, in some of our published clinical trials, we can take the carotid arteries, which are easily visualized through ultrasound, and show a before and after, and we can increase blood vessel diameter by 13% in the carotids after 10 minutes. And if you relate that to blood flow, that's about a 34% increase in blood flow to the brain within 10 minutes.
Goodness. All right, now then, One of the things that we have been excited about with the Neo40, and we're talking about Neo40. And now, first of all, you've changed the name, or your company's changed the name to Human In. Now, why and what is that about?
Well, you know, as we evolve as a company and really the awareness around nitric oxide increased, we constantly ask ourselves and do some introspection and say, what do we want to be when we grow up? Where's the field going to be, and what do we as a company want to do, and what do we want to become? And really, at the core of what we do is try to optimize human performance, because you can't optimize, and that means something different to everybody, whether it's being able to, you know, for older people to go out and spend time and play with their grandkids, or elite athletes, you know, knocking a second off their races. You can't do that until you fix the nitric oxide system. And so really, we want to optimize human performance and allow humans to live to their full potential. So we came up with this concept that really we're human to the power of N. We want to allow people to live to their full potential. And that could be infinite possibilities for a lot of people. And so the other thing that we realized was that, you know, everything we do is really nature-derived. And so there's nothing synthetic, there's nothing artificial about what we do. We understand physiology to the extent that we can give the body what it needs, then basically recapitulate and fix a lot of these physiological systems that become disruptive or dysfunctional in disease. And so our previous name was called Neogenesis Labs. And a lot of people, we do a lot of market research, we talk to our customers, and there was almost a disconnect because if you're a natural science-based company, and your name is Neogenesis Laboratories, there was the perception that you're making this stuff in a laboratory.
Okay.
And that's really not the case, because everything we do, and in fact all of my patents and the technology that we've developed, comes from natural products. This is activity that we've derived from plant-based material. So there's nothing synthetic in there. And so that was really kind of the motivating force, was to allow us the breadth and the depth to really become whatever we wanted to in terms of how we can deliver safe, efficacious, science-backed, driven products and technology to the masses that people could trust. And I think we've done that over the past 3 years. We're a seven-year-old company, and we don't do anything without a lot of science and a lot of rigor that goes into the product development.
How old is the company now?
We're a seven-year-old company.
Okay. Y'all made a lot of progress in that length of time. Just wanted to ask, this is just a little information. I have a patient who the Neo-40 comes in a blister pack, and one of the lozenges had turned dark brown. Is that because of oxygen getting to the lozenge through the blister pack?
It is. So probably the blister pack was compromised in some manner. You know, we do extensive quality control on the end of production to make sure that there's no compromised in the foil pack. But yeah, if one of them becomes compromised, and a lot of that will oxidize, and so you can return that to us and we'll replace it.
Does it affect the product's effectiveness any?
Well, a lot of times we're finding that it's not going to affect the nitric oxide activity, but it will give it kind of an off taste.
Okay.
So we just tell people, if it turns brown or if it's discolored, don't take it. Return it to us. We'll be happy to replace it.
Now then, the other thing is, when we first came out, and I got really interested in this because I was taking high blood pressure medication, and then after, I don't know, 6 months or so, I was able to completely get off of it. So let's talk about how much time should elapse when you're taking blood pressure. Of course, there's a lot of factors in there, a lot of factors, but just say, give us some guidelines of what we can look at safely, because we don't want our listeners to do anything that would affect the negative aspects of not taking blood pressure medication.
Sure.
So, do you have some guidelines that you use, and how you work with your physicians on this subject, and what a person can expect, and so on? In my personal case, I was able to completely get off after I've been taking blood pressure medication for many years. Completely get off, and still am off of it, and it's been wonderful to be able to not take any of that medication.
Mm-hmm.
So are there some guidelines, or is it just too complex for that?
Well, number one, I think you hit the nail on the head, and we recommend you always consult with your physicians before you do anything, change in medication. And I think it's important to note that this isn't a replacement for your medication. This is registered with the FDA as a dietary supplement, so it's not intended to treat, prevent, cure, mitigate, or diagnose any disease. And so, but we try to empower the patients to go to their physician if they've been on any type of. And again, it goes back to this very simple notion that if you do everything you're supposed to do, then you don't need supplements, you don't need medications.
Okay.
The problem is, there's a lot of sick people out there.
Yeah.
Most diseases can be traced back, as Linus Pauling said, to a simple nutrient deficiency. And so if you replete that nutrient, then a lot of things go away. And it's estimated that 75% of the U.S. population is deficient in magnesium.
Yes.
Magnesium is a central cofactor in many different enzymatic processes. And so magnesium is a very good vasodilator. So a lot of times if people just increase their magnesium, their blood pressure will become better. But again, that's not a drug for the treatment of hypertension or blood pressure. But these are simple things that physiology and biochemistry tell us. But here's what we know from the published clinical trials for the Neo-40, that it's very good at normalizing blood pressure. We've taken 37 subjects in that have so-called pre-hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
That's blood pressure between 120 and 139 systolic and 80 and 89 diastolic. And after 30 days, we saw a highly significant reduction in both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. So their blood pressure went from 138 over 82 to 126 over 76. So that's a 12-millimeter reduction in blood pressure,
okay,
systolic, and a 6-millimeter reduction diastolic after 30 days. And these are peer-reviewed, published clinical studies that your listeners can access via the web. And so we don't really, this is what the published literature tells us. This is something I'm just telling you off the tip of my tongue. But what we do is if we have a question, we put it to the test, similar to drug studies in certain populations, and see what the end result is. And so the net of this is about 8 issued patents that I have on this technology, and we have 6 published peer-reviewed clinical studies on this, and probably 6 or 7 more clinical trials underway. And so these are all accessible by PubMed or your listeners can access.
Okay. All right, now then.
Let me just make one more point, too. Is that people, you know, may or may not feel, most people, if their blood pressure gets too high, they'll certainly feel it. But when you have a modest reduction in blood pressure, or normalization of blood pressure, I should say, people may or may not feel that because it's so subtle.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people take the Neo 40 for different reasons, whether it's just want to maintain good health, like taking a daily vitamin C or vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing it kind of for good measure. We have other people take it because they're lethargic, they have chronic fatigue, and they want more energy. And so a lot of times, even though this effect may be subtle, they may not feel it. We know through imaging of blood vessels that every time that lozenge is placed in their mouth, that their blood vessels are dilating, they're improving oxygen and nutrient delivery to every tissue throughout the body.
Okay.
Now, is that something they're going to feel? Some people do, some people don't. For instance, I'm 43 years old, I'm extremely healthy, have no issues whatsoever. I don't feel anything when I take the Neo 40.
Okay.
But I know what it's doing because I see it, I can visualize it in my own body. And it happens, it's not just with me, it's every single person that takes it, we've been able to visualize that vascular change every single time a lozenge is taken.
All right, now a lot of my patients that are in the older demographic, we're going to see them and they're going to list on their meds because we see them, they have to do a new health history every 6 months, and so they're going to be, frequently, they're going to be on 2 blood pressure medications and also as many as 3 blood pressure medications. So how do you approach that issue?
Well, we just like we do with any issue, we use data to our advantage. And we know that most people, 2 out of 3 people in the U.S., have either high blood pressure or what we call pre-high blood pressure that I mentioned. So that's a couple hundred million people. 50% of the people that take a prescription medication for their blood pressure have unmanaged blood pressure. So the prescription medications they're taking aren't effective in normalizing their blood pressure. And I think that's a very important point there because nobody's really ever focused on nitric oxide. The other thing is, too, and this is a big, large-scale trial that was published last year. It was called the SPRINT trial. And it told us that if you can get blood pressure down close to 120 over 80, you can reduce all-cause mortality by as much as a 25% or a third. Now, that's huge.
25% or what?
Or almost a third.
All right.
30% of the population. And so what that means is people taking 2, 3, 4 medications for their blood pressure and still not effective, then using standard pharmacotherapy, then really you're out of bullets.
Yeah.
So then we have to start thinking about, well, what are we missing here? Is it a magnesium deficiency? Is it a nitric oxide deficiency? Is it some other things we may have overlooked that these drugs aren't affecting? So that's where I think we have really the potential to have a profound impact on public health, is simply restoring nitric oxide and getting their blood pressure down to a normal level. You can reduce the risk of heart attack, stroke, all-cause mortality. I mean, it's not just death, but really the quality of life.
Because
when you improve nitric oxide status, everything works better because every cell in the body is getting more oxygen and it's performing better and allowing it to do its metabolic function.
All right, now then, well, I've had several programs on sleep disordered breathing, which is going to affect oxygen throughout the body considerably. Are there any studies showing how the nitric oxide, how the Neo-40 or the Humanium is effective at helping sleep disordered breathing, or is that strictly a a mechanical problem?
Well, sometimes, whether it's mechanical or not, the physiological consequence is very clear. So obstructive sleep apnea is obviously due to an obstruction, but the consequences of that is that you become hypoxic or your oxygen levels drop. And you can't make nitric oxide without sufficient oxygen.
Okay.
And that's why people with sleep apnea have a higher incidence of heart attack and stroke.
It's right.
Shutting down nitric oxide production. So if you have patients with OSA, obviously you have to relieve the obstruction. But then, too, as I mentioned earlier, and perhaps it is very complicated, but without nitric oxide being produced in the red blood cell, even though you may have oxygen that's being trying to be delivered to the tissue, if that nitric oxide's not there, you can't offload that oxygen.
Okay.
So these are the perfect candidates for nitric oxide-based therapies because, number one, they're hypoxic, and if you put them on a CPAP machine and force the oxygen into their lungs and into their tissues, again, that's going to have some limited success until you fix their nitric oxide.
So the dosage, like one before you retire, and then one in the mid-morning and one in the afternoon, is that pretty normal?
Well, we recommend one to two lozenges a day, depending on the individual.
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
One to two lozenges per day,
okay.
Not to feed more than two. But for people with obstructive sleep apnea, probably the best regimen is one in the morning and then one in the night before they lie down.
Okay.
And put on their CPAP machine. That way we can make sure their nitric oxide levels. You get 24-hour coverage like them.
All right. So then people that are taking these meds, and this is, of course, a comorbidity of the sleep-disordered breathing, is the drug pharmaceuticals. The body becomes resistant to the pharmaceuticals because of not enough oxygen. But what I hear you saying is that you've got to have the nitric oxide for all this to work together in the first place.
That's right. And so even during so-called hypoxia, the technology we've discovered and put in the Neo-40 actually creates an oxygen-independent source of nitric oxide. So what that means is even if you, during your sleep, or and really this occurs in athletes or even people that ascend to high altitude, they get low oxygen, they get hypoxic. And so when you take an oxygen-independent nitric oxide-generating system, then it basically overcomes that lack of oxygen and allows you to dilate blood vessels and make oxygen utilization more efficient.
Now, a big problem with sleep-disordered breathing is with babies, children, adolescents. How do they figure into this equation? In fact, it's a bigger problem numerically than it is with adults, it seems like.
Well, there are a number of things. I mean, in adults, it's typically, quite honestly, it's usually a weight problem because they've got an excess weight in their abdomen that's kind of pushing down their lungs. With kids, there's a number of different reasons. And if you look at neonates that are born premature with pulmonary hypertension, that was the first clinical use of nitric oxide.
Oh, really?
Was in premature babies with pulmonary hypertension. So these babies would give them nitric oxide gas mixed with oxygen at a certain ratio in a nasal cannula, and, this has saved hundreds of thousands of babies' lives over the past 20, 30 years.
Hmm. But then as we go into children and adolescents, and you have a tie-in to ADD, ADHD, other developmental problems of the brain, how important has there been any work showing a tie-in and advantage to increasing this nitric oxide to development of the brain in this category of people?
We don't. We don't have any clinical studies on the use of Neo-40 in ADD or ADHD, but here's what we do. A lot of these are caused by some of them due to the methylation issues and enzymopathies related to methylation cycles, and that obviously ties into nitric oxide. But, you know, there are some rare genetic disorders that we actually have published studies in, that a rare condition called arginosuccinic aciduria. We've got NIH-funded studies now ongoing. And these kids have developmental disorders. They have high blood pressure. They have renal dysfunction. And with the Neo-40, we're able to basically normalize most of those symptoms, including the blood pressure, the renal dysfunction. They improve cognitively over time. And so this is really exciting developments in the world of pediatrics, that some of these genetic disorders may be tied into nitric oxide. But I think it's important to say that the Neo-40 was developed for typically normal, healthy adults. And so, again, if Neo-40 is thought of or suggested in pediatrics, we always recommend they contact their pediatrician or their treating physician to see if it would be appropriate.
All right, now, what about renal dysfunction? Is my understanding is people age, their renal function is going to decrease exponentially, possibly, to where when you get to be about 70 or so, you're going to have a 50% function of the kidneys. Is that accurate, or is there any good value to Neo-40 in this renal arena?
Well, early renal dysfunction is characterized by we call microalbuminuria, which basically means you begin to spill a little bit of protein in the urine. You should have zero protein in your urine. It should be reabsorbed. But when your kidneys aren't functioning properly, or you have high blood pressure, renal hypertension, then that can push protein through in the urine. And so we've, in these pediatric patients, again, this is published in the peer-reviewed literature, that microalbuminuria can be corrected. Even we're seeing now, and really that's the first sign of cardiovascular dysfunction.
Really?
It precedes even high blood pressure or even advanced atherosclerosis. If you start spilling protein in your urine, then you really need to get a handle on things, because that's really the first sign and symptom. And even a step back than that is that's due to insufficient nitric oxide production. So really, when you lose the ability to make nitric oxide, that's kind of the earliest event or the process that begins the onset and progression of cardiovascular disease. So being able to understand what individual patients' nitric oxide levels are, what their diet is, what their oral hygiene is, how much physical exercise they're getting, all these determine their nitric oxide status. And so we need to take, it's a time now in medicine where people have to become proactive instead of reactive.
Right.
You know, take the necessary steps before you get sick or ill to prevent these onset of age-related disease, rather than once you get them, have that kind of oh crap moment, and then try to figure out how to treat it. I think it's best to prevent rather than treat.
So what I hear you saying is that the first sign of spilling protein into the urine, you need to start on Neo-40. To help with the nitric oxide, and are physicians in tune with this, or is this something that's still in their learning curve?
Well, I mean, we have probably close to 2,000 physicians and healthcare practitioners that use and recommend the Neo-40 in their clinical practice. It's an education process, because this isn't something these physicians are taught in medical school. You know, I was on the faculty at UT Medical School in Houston for 9 years, and I taught one course on nitric oxide, and that's really the only touch they ever get. So it's not mainstay, it's not part of their one therapeutic armament. So you almost have to reteach a lot of these docs and physicians on basic physiology and how cell systems work. But once they understand the power of nitric oxide and that there's actually a way to safely and effectively deliver nitric oxide, they become a little bit more accepting and use it in their clinical practice.
Now, what about cardiologists and pulmonologists?
Well, these are probably the toughest people because they have, I mean, these are critical patients. If you're at a pulmonologist or cardiologist, you know, they have a certain therapeutic regimen that they have to use. That,
right.
You know, and it's called the standard of care.
Yes.
If you deviate from standard of care, typically bad things can happen. So, and most physicians have to practice standard of care and with good reason most of the time. But again, I think getting back to the basics and doing what, giving our body what it needs to perform optimally without drug intervention, without inhibiting specific enzyme systems, then that's, I think, the best, always the best approach.
So a person who wanted to, and they had, say they had cardiovascular issues or pulmonary issues or COPD or these different things, they could do their own supplementation with the Humanin twice a day and have no consequence, no untoward effects for taking that. In fact, it might help or would help, or how would you phrase it? How would you phrase that?
Look, I feel confident in saying that it would certainly perhaps wouldn't do them, or it would certainly not do them any harm, and perhaps provide some benefit. But again, people on a number of different medications, you know, they're always told that if you start any new dietary supplement or herbal product, just always consult your physician, because we never, there's no data out there showing how every single supplement, every drug, every herbal product interacts with drug metabolism. And so it's just always good to be as transparent as possible with your physician so that they begin to understand what's going on and manage the drug therapy accordingly. But we've seen this a number of times in patients that have, whether it's cardiovascular issues or lung issues, that, you know, if you give a nitric oxide product like the Neo 40, then good things typically happen.
Okay.
In terms of improving blood flow and function of those organ systems.
Now then, I've read, and my understanding is that cancer cells love not having oxygen. They can grow in a very, they can grow effectively, or let me put it another way, they can't grow effectively in the presence of oxygen. Is that correct?
Well, it's not completely correct. I mean, tumor cells have a very controlled oxygen environment. The problem in tumor cells is that the mitochondria within those cells have become dysfunctional.
I see.
And the mitochondria are the part of the cells that actually take oxygen and make it into cellular energy, or ATP. And so all cancer cells have a dysfunctional mitochondria. In fact, that's what makes them cancer cells. And so they just utilize oxygen differently than normal cells. We call it aerobic fermentation. So they basically use a fermentation process that's very inefficient. And so that inefficient oxygen utilization causes the upregulation of different genes. We call these oncogenes. So cancer is really not a genetic disorder. You see a change in the genetic expression of cancer cells because of the apparent mitochondria. If you fix the mitochondria, the cancer goes away. It's really that simple. And two, that cancer cells only respire on glucose. So you have to limit the amount of glucose that these cells have to respire on, because normal cells can, if you run out of sugars, glucose, they'll start breaking down protein or utilize fat.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer cells can't do that. They can only utilize glucose. You can starve them of glucose and basically slow down cancer proliferation.
So removing glucose out of your diet as much as possible can have quite an effect on cancer?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of data emerging from a ketogenic diet in cancer patients. If you keep your blood sugar below, I think it's 16, or ketones above 2, that really provides the ideal environment to selectively starve these cancer cells. But that's tough to do.
Yeah.
You've got to be really disciplined. That's typically a raw, almost a vegan diet.
Yeah.
I'll throw in a little protein, but certainly eliminating all dairy, all grains, all carbs. It's a tough protocol, but
mm-hmm.
It works. I've seen it work.
Okay, then let's go back to the oral cavity and what's going on there with the research with Neo 40.
Well, we're in the process of designing some clinical trials, specifically what the Neo 40 lozenge does to the oral bacteria. And we started this years ago, or it even preceded my involvement in this, but as a dentist, you're certainly aware of the statistics that demonstrate that people with gingivitis and periodontal disease have a higher incidence of cardiovascular disease than mm-hmm. the population. And so there's a number of mechanisms for that. It's the inflammation in the gums that leads to an inflammation of the blood vessels, oral infections. You know, there's a lot of bacteria that secrete toxins that are insulting to the cardiovascular system. And so if you've got a chronic oral infection, this is always bad news. And, you know, you have to get that cleared up. And so a lot of people, you know, have these asymptomatic infections from root canals that were performed years ago. These bacteria are sitting there basically producing a lot of these toxins that cause many illnesses. And so that, I think, is a common overlooked problem in mainstream medicine, is that sick patients who seem to not get better despite the best standard of care need to go see a really good dentist and make sure that their oral infections are cleaned up and that everything's in check in the mouth. But what the research we've done over the past 10 years shows that, you know, there are a lot of facultative anaerobic bacteria that live in the crypts of our tongue, back on the mm-hmm. back part of our tongue,
mm-hmm.
and that these bacteria are there and they respire on nitrogen. And so they actually can generate nitric oxide gas or other nitrogen metabolites that, when swallowed or when taken up by the body, can actually generate nitric oxide. So we're finding that, you know, some people don't have these bacteria, either because of periodontal disease or gingivitis, or simply because of oral hygiene. They're using too much antiseptic mouthwash. They're overusing antibiotics. And so they're killing a lot of these good bacteria that we need as humans to do the metabolic activities that we can't do. And one of those is producing nitric oxide.
Okay, now, we know that when a person eats and food lodges on the teeth and then bacteria set in and they explode exponentially, and then the body responds to that inflammation by secreting toxins, and the toxins then will attack the bacteria, but they also attack the bone. So the body is, in effect, sacrificing itself by trying to clear out the infection. So my question is has there been any evidence that you've run across or anything of that type where nitric oxide will disrupt this pattern of the body destroying itself as it destroys the inflammation of the gums?
Well, here's what we do know about nitric oxide. Most pathogens, bacterial pathogens, are sensitive to nitric oxide.
Okay.
If you hit them with nitric oxide, they'll die. In fact, that's how our immune system does it. It generates a lot of nitric oxide. It burns iron sulfur centers of these bacteria and shuts down respiration. But part of our immune system is to create that. And this is where the problem of root canal teeth really present themselves, because in root canal teeth, there's no access to the blood, and there's no nerve there to tell you that you've still got an infection.
Right.
So this creates an environment where it's isolated from our immune system. So I think it's important to go in and clean these teeth up and get rid of the infection. But in the normal oral flora, you know, that's really what we're trying to do now, is figure out, okay, if you've got some pathogens, whether it's, you know, bad breath-causing bacteria, or whether it's the gingival plaque bacteria that are causing gingivitis and the inflammation of the gums, what is the nitric oxide and Neo 40 doing to those bugs?
Okay.
And so those are very important questions that we just don't have the answers to just yet.
But you're saying that the nitric oxide will kill the pathogens.
Well, there's a number of published studies showing that it'll kill H. pylori. That's the bug that grows mm-hmm. in the stomach that causes stomach ulcers. It can kill botulism toxin, you know, a lot of these foodborne mm-hmm. illnesses, pathogens, listeria. In fact, that's why sodium nitrite is added to cured meats and a lot of foods. It's for food safety concerns because that actually generates nitric oxide and it kills the bacteria.
Okay. Now, tell us about some of the developments that you have come across. I know you are doing research all the time. The last time you were on, you mentioned about stem cells, that stem cells couldn't be activated, or one of the values of nitric oxide was switching on stem cells, which have to do with our regeneration process. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, this is really, I mean, stem cell and regenerative medicine has been an emerging field for probably the past 10 or 15 years. What we're beginning to understand, so really the holy grail in cardiovascular medicine, or really any medicine, is trying to figure out how do you regenerate tissue? So when cells become dysfunctional, the body's normal response is to get rid of that cell and create a new cell. So the ultimate question is, what does the body need to make a new cell that works properly?
Yeah.
And part of that is derived from the stem cells. And so nitric oxide is really the signal in the body that tells stem cells to go where they need to know. So if there's stem cells in our bone marrow or in our fat, this mobilizes stem cells to go to the injured tissue or the dysfunctional tissue and basically regenerate those cells, regenerate the tissue. It's the basis for regenerative medicine. So without nitric oxide, the body never gets that signal to sell stem cells to go where they need to go and become what they need to become. The other important component now is that people getting stem cells delivered, either in orthopedics or even in some chronic illnesses, even like MS or Lou Gehrig's, or you're basically harvesting their own stem cells. So the important thing that we try to teach is, if you're giving these cells back to their own patient, then why not make these cells as functional as you can before you give them back? And that's where the nitric oxide, the Neo40, comes in. We're finding that if people are considering stem cell therapy, you start them on the Neo40 for 30 or 60 days prior to stem cell deployment, and we're finding that the stem cell therapies are actually more successful.
Well, tell me if you have some insight into this. I've thought about this many times. When I go to sleep at night, I feel quite confident that my cells are going to reproduce and I'm going to have my hand back and my legs back and my organ parts and so on. Is with nitric oxide, is that going to help guarantee that everything reproduces ideally, or is that something we just don't know enough about?
Well, it's not the end-all, be-all, cure-all in terms of that, but I think what's clear from the published literature is that without restoring nitric oxide, you're going to have a lot of frustrations and limited success in what you do. So we know how to take that out of the equation now. So if you're taking the Neo40 and then normalize your nitric oxide and the body has everything else it needs to regenerate and to heal when you sleep, then that's just how our body works. Give the body what it needs and it heals itself.
Okay, but so we really do need the nitric oxide. And the other thing, talk about the little strips that can tell if you have enough nitric oxide in your system and how that works, and so that we're not guessing at this whole process.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I developed this about 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, and the problem was that the number one question we asked was, how do I know if I need Neo40? How do I know if I need nitric oxide? And that was a very salient question because there's not none of the labs you get. Like, how do you know if you need vitamin D? Well, you go get your blood work done, and they'll tell you if your vitamin D is normal, low, or high. Same thing with triglycerides or fish oils. And so there's standard labs for that. With nitric oxide, there's not. And so although there are a number of labs that correlate with deficiency of nitric oxide, there really wasn't a nitric oxide diagnostic, if you will. And so that's when we went to work and developed this salivary test strip that when you apply your saliva to the end of this test strip, it'll change colors. And the color change is correlative to the amount of nitric oxide bioactivity in the body. And so if it turns a bright pink, then at that particular time of testing, then your nitric oxide levels are so-called normal or optimal. If it doesn't turn color, if it's a slight pink or white, then you become nitric oxide deficient. And so what that tells us is that your body may be nitric oxide deficient, but what it doesn't tell us is why you become nitric oxide deficient. And then that allows us then to ask other, perhaps more relevant questions, and then to interrogate individual systems to figure out why you're nitric oxide deficient. Is it because the blood vessels, the lining of your blood vessels aren't producing enough nitric oxide? Is it because you're not eating enough green leafy vegetables to provide enough dietary nitrate that the bacteria can use? Or is it because you don't have the right oral bacteria? So all three of those things contribute to nitric oxide deficiencies, and you can use those tests at appropriate times and really try to figure out what's the cause of the NO deficiency.
What is the oral? What are the ideal oral bacteria that you're talking about?
Well, we've published this several years ago. There's about, I don't know, a handful, 10 or 12 different bacteria that seem to be associated with optimal so-called nitrate reduction or nitric oxide production. These aren't any standard. There's none of these bacteria have been found in any prebiotics or probiotics that are currently on the market. I've filed a number
of really?
Questions on these. And so these are new bacteria that no one's really paid that much attention to until now. But I think the interesting thing, and perhaps the most relevant, is that despite whatever the reason, people become nitric oxide deficient, the Neo-40 lozenge will overcome that no matter what.
Okay.
So if you have endothelial dysfunction and your blood vessels aren't making enough nitric oxide, our published clinical data show that within 4 hours of taking a single lozenge, we can improve the blood vessel production of nitric oxide by 15%.
Okay.
If you don't have the right oral bacteria, that lozenge generates about 30 parts per million nitric oxide gas in the oral cavity, whether you have the right bacteria or not. So it will always deliver, no matter what the three problems are that I mentioned earlier: insufficient green leafy vegetable consumption, lack of oral bacteria, or endothelial dysfunction. The Neo-40 will overcome those and always generate nitric oxide.
Are y'all coming out with any specific lozenge or product in them for oral use?
Well, that's certainly in the works, and it's part of our future products. The problem is that the FDA wants us to do long-term safety studies on
okay.
a lot of these bugs. And so,
yeah.
You know, it's almost humorous, if it wasn't so frustrating, the fact that,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are oral, non-pathogenic commensal bacteria that normally live in and on our body
mm-hmm.
That the FDA wants safety studies on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pause here for just a minute, and I want to reach out to my listening audience, because I know that so many of you do not have a real comfort level of coming to the dentist. And we know this from studies that there are just millions and millions of people that are suffering from dental disease because they just feel like they can't tolerate having their teeth worked on, or they're had very uncomfortable situations. And one of the things that we do at the office of Dr. Staffelin McLean is we have worked for a very long time to develop the most comfortable dental appointment that you could possibly have. And of course, at the heart of this is a NUCOM system, an anti-anxiety system that I've been using for like 20 years. And the NUCOM system does so much to relieve the anxiety, and we have different procedures or different systems that will relieve low anxiety, high anxiety, low fear, high fear. And so when you put off attending to oral pathology or oral bugs or broken teeth or infected teeth, you're really damaging the whole of your body. And that's the thing that we want to get across. And that's why I want to just urge you, give us a call. The number is 210-341-2569. 210-341-2569. And let us explain to you how comfortable you can be in the dental office for dental treatment. Because your teeth are supposed to, are designed to last you for 84 or 80 plus years. And so, but they need help. They need a lot of help. And give us a call, Dr. Staffel and McLinn. The number is 210-341-2569. And let us help you overcome these fears and infections that you may be carrying around with and causing a lot of damage to the rest of your body. So now, my guest is Dr. Nathan Bryant. We're just close out of time. And Dr. Bryant, I can't thank you enough for coming and sharing your Sunday afternoon on your valuable, valuable time. What are some of the really exciting things that you have in your company and research has have uncovered recently?
Well, we're very proud of the fact that we think we've done something that people haven't been able to do over the past 30 or 40 years ever since nitric oxide was discovered, and that's to create a safe and effective nitric oxide product. Big Pharmaceutical has been working on this for 25 or 30 years, and they've failed mostly in developing that. And so, you know, I think we're at the very beginning of over the next 20 years where nitric oxide is going to be mainstay. People are going to, you know, we think it's going to be the next fish oil where everybody takes a fish oil because they know it's good for you, they know it's health promoting, and you need it for good health. We think that that's going to be the case with nitric oxide. Now, the problem is, there's the, just like fish oils, there's a lot of fish oils out there, and nitric oxide is a little bit different because it's so damn complicated. And so most nitric oxide products on the market don't work. In fact, I test every product that ever hits the market, number one, to make sure they're not infringing on my patents, but number two, to make sure that they do what they're designed to do. And so simply giving a nitric oxide product from a company that really has no research, never published in the nitric oxide field, you know, don't be duped by creative marketing. I think it's important to look at some critical components. Number one, has there been any published clinical trials on that nitric oxide product? We have 6 published peer-reviewed clinical trials. We have 8 issued patents on that. Most other nitric oxide products on the market don't have any patents because they're simply giving some ingredients that have been shown in the medical literature to perhaps generate nitric oxide under certain conditions. And then number three is the company and the inventor or the formulator, have they ever published anything on nitric oxide? Are they so-called nitric oxide experts? And I think, you know, we're very proud of the fact that, you know, we can answer yes to all three of those. We have patents, clinical trials, and I've got hundreds of publications in the published literature. I'm a biochemist and physiologist by training. And so we know what we're doing, and perhaps we know nitric oxide biology better than anybody out there. And so I just urge people to educate yourself and look for superior products.
Now, I see advertised Betalite. That's one of your products?
It is. So the Betalite and the Super Beets product are ours, and you know there was a lot of awareness around beets and nitric oxide after the 2012 Olympic Games when a lot of these athletes were drinking a lot of beet juice. And so we've perfected and optimized beets and how we grow them and how we really concentrate the nitric oxide activity in these as well.
And Betalite, I see it advertised on national television all the time. What are some of the other product names that you have?
Well, Super Beets is really our main direct-to-consumer product. That's the one that we do a lot of national advertising on.
Okay.
We've got Betalite that's used by the entire U.S. Olympic team, a lot of Spartan athletes and these obstacle course racers. We've got 170, 180 professional NCAA programs that use the Betalite, and they use it because it works.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes see an improvement in performance. It tastes great. A lot of people don't like the taste of beets. We've actually made beets taste really well. I'm one of those who really don't like the taste of beets. The Betalite products taste great. I love them.
All right. We've got to wind up. Thank you very much. And you're coming back shortly, and we have a lot more questions. Thank you so very, very much, Dr. Bryant. And thank you, my listeners, for listening. And we'll have some more very, very valuable information for you coming up soon. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Staffel, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.